right. It's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight as we head towards NCAA tournament time. Selection Sunday is this Sunday. We will have several hours of coverage for you here on WGCL, 5:30 to 9 o'clock this Sunday, and we've got a lot to tell you about later on in the show about our broadcasts of March Madness here on WGCL, among other things. But we will be looking tonight mostly at the Big Ten tournament as it is now underway. Illinois having an easy time of it with a very depleted Minnesota team right now. If Illinois goes on to win, they will face Iowa tomorrow, approximately 2:30 or so, with the winner of that game going on to face the 4-seed Purdue. We will know tomorrow about 2 o'clock who Indiana will play in their first game. Their first game is Friday at noon against the winner of Northwestern and Michigan. And Glass, a pair of teams there that if you look at them against Indiana, we know both of those teams can compete with Indiana. We know Indiana blew them both out this year, one at Assembly Hall and one up in Ann Arbor. But as you've made it clear all year long, or certainly all recently long with Indiana, it really comes down for Indiana to how does Indiana play? Because if Indiana plays their best, if they hit their shots, if they hit the boards, if they have any modicum of defense whatsoever, they're probably going to be victorious against either of those teams.
Yep, and Illinois has stretched their lead to 37 with 4 minutes to go, so that game is all done. Illinois, Iowa tomorrow. Yeah, and I think Indiana's the team here that's the hunted. It's not about the matchup for Indiana can't be anywhere in their look-sees. It can't be, well, if it's Northwestern, if it's no, you got to do what you do. You're the number one seed. You're the team that's beaten everybody. You're the team that's won and earned that position. These teams have to play their game of their season to beat you. And that doesn't mean Indiana just has to show up, Dave. I think you're exactly right. Indiana can make this really interesting because they have shown they can do that. And they can make it really uninteresting like Illinois is doing to Minnesota now. Remember, Northwestern got beat, what, 30? How many here? How many was it?
Northwestern? Yeah, it was a bunch.
It was a bunch. And Indiana had a 29-0 run at Michigan. The only interesting sidebars to this.
32.
32 is too many. That means Indiana's got too much class and too much talent. But it doesn't matter who they play because they have to play. What are they playing for? Well, they've never won a Big Ten championship tournament style before. They've never done that. No one at Indiana has ever done that. It started in 1998, and no one who has coached that team has. They've only made one final. Luke Recker beat them on the shot at the buzzer, jumped on the table. That's it. Only final they've been to in this tournament. So there's plenty to play for on that side. What else is that going to help with? What's going to help with national seeding? If Indiana wins the Big Ten tournament and has to beat Purdue and Michigan State to do so, those are two really quality wins that they're going to add to that, and you don't have to sit there and try to explain away Wake Forest and UNLV anymore. You look at the end of the season, who they beat in their last five or six games, and it's going to be Purdue twice, Michigan State, at Iowa, Maryland. Mm-hmm. That's things that number one seeds can be made of down the road. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it can move them from the three line to the two line.
Sure could.
It can guarantee them the best three. It can move them around in situations like that. The only interesting thing that comes into play, I believe, because I think Michigan's going to beat Northwestern number one, is Michigan knows they are on the bubble of bubbles.
Yeah, they've got to win.
They were on the bubble last Saturday when Iowa came to town, an Iowa team that had lost 5 of 6, Dave, and they couldn't take advantage of that on their home court. There is no magic switch that gets flipped. I don't think teams start playing hard because it's the conference championship. I think teams play more desperate, and when you don't care as much and you say, if we don't win this game, we're going to the NIT, we might as well play free and loose. Mm-hmm. And Michigan didn't do that against Indiana at Ann Arbor. That's the one thing that Indiana has to keep in the back of their mind, where maybe not letting Michigan stick around. Again, focus on what you do well. Knock them out early. Have a nice day. Everybody's on to Saturday against probably Purdue, you would think. But the Hoosiers have to take care of Indiana, and it's a really simple formula. Dive on the floor. Move the basketball.
Yeah.
Take one more pass. Don't turn it over. And when they do that, Dave, no one's really given them any problems here down the stretch. They had a very bad shooting night against Penn State. It happens. That's on a home court. They had a terrible game against Michigan State for the final 30 minutes. Why? Because Michigan State's really good. I get all that.
Yeah.
But what Indiana can't do is can't have another one of these 3 of 17 from 3, 16 turnover type performances,
right,
and hope it all works out in the end. And the biggest key for this team is, how does the show go on a neutral court? They've played at Bankers Life Fieldhouse enough times, they should have a some kind of comfortability level there, but it's still not Assembly Hall. It's still getting up for that opponent. They can't be looking ahead to Saturday's semifinal. They can't be dreaming about number one or number two seeds. If they play it timeout to timeout, just like you saw at Iowa, they're going to get off to their slow start like they always do that first couple, 4 minutes. But once they start going through the gears, the next step is translating that onto a neutral setting floor, and that's what's next. The only time of the year you play these neutral games, Dave, are in the beginning when you're trying to figure some things out, and the end when you have to have it figured out. There's not a lot of, you know, you're not playing a Tuesday night in Ames because Iowa City's gym's broken.
Right.
You're not in those situations. So better teams rise to the occasion and get after it. I'll give you an example of why this isn't always cut and dried in the bag. A 4-3-15, 4-12 NC State had a shot to tie Duke at the buzzer today, lost 92-89. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, the guy's desperate, guys make silly decisions. At the end of the game, sometimes balls go in the basket. But what Indiana can do, Dave, is not give Michigan or Northwestern that in. They can't leave the door cracked to say, hey, look, we're turning it over this many times. The good news is, Northwestern's not a team that forces you to turn the ball over.
That's right.
Michigan's not a team that forces you to turn the ball over. So if you ask for an opponent to start with, other than a Minnesota team that has six guys,
right,
this is not a terrible matchup for Indiana.
No, about the only thing you wonder a little bit about is, as Northwestern sometimes have got some quirky style to them. They can slow it down. They can throw some odd stuff at you. That's the
none
extent,
of that worked
as you mentioned, what they have to do, what each of these teams have to do to get into the NCAA tournament is probably win the whole thing, at least get to the finals if you're Michigan, I would think. So both of these teams are teams that are going to be very hungry, you would expect. The question is, Indiana as hungry? Indiana played very hungry down the stretch. They heard all year long about how the end of the season was going to be the tough part of their schedule.
True, and it was.
And it was, and they played through it as though they were the team that had to be the more hungry team. They played that way, and it was a pretty much constant ascent to the final game of the year. The question for them really becomes, do they sustain that or continue that ascent, even at an incremental level, or do they regress at this point in time? If they continue a steady and an ascent, they're playing great basketball.
They don't even have to ascend. They just have to play where they've played the last two games against Iowa and Maryland, and I think they'll take care of most things. With the Hoosiers, it's always going to be a question of, can they handle the moment? They are the hunted. It is clear that is the case. Michigan is absolutely desperate. Northwestern knows they have to win the tournament to get anywhere.
Yep.
So, again, this is a new set of circumstances. This is not Tuesday night, January 14th. That's not what it is. This is finality, end of, for a lot of teams. And the Hoosiers, thankfully, aren't one of them, but they can make inroads into that top second line, maybe even to the first line eventually.
No, and let's be fair here. I mean, with the issues they had down the stretch here, with some injury issues still lingering potentially, Indiana's got to play like the hungry team. They really do. That's how they win games. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. David Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 at AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Illinois has wrapped up their game against Minnesota, 85-52. Minnesota suspending pretty much their entire team late in the season for one reason or another.
Joey King broke his foot.
Yeah, hurt himself, which is sad. But Minnesota mercifully ends their season 2-16 in the Big Ten. Illinois continues on, however. No real shot at the postseason unless they win this whole thing. Well, you're going to hear that a lot this week.
So you're saying they got a chance.
They've always got a chance, and they can score. They can't really defend, and they're not interested in defending, and that'll bite them eventually. But they go against Iowa, and Iowa might not care much tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon. When they play them, the winner of that game will play Purdue, the number four seed. Indiana against Northwestern and Michigan. And as we said, Indiana's got to play their game, and they've got to play. Look, they hit shots. When they hit shots, when they're aggressive offensively, and when they score, they make it very hard on teams. Michigan and Northwestern will have played against each other, kind of an odd set of styles there. But Indiana's got to bring the intensity, and they did down the stretch. They, you know, outside of the Michigan State game, pretty much lived up to everything they needed to against a tough set of teams.
They did, and when they shot it poorly, though, they didn't. That's when they struggled. They didn't shoot it very well at Michigan State. They didn't shoot it very well at Penn State. They had two tough shooting games against Minnesota. One of them was here when they were, what, 2 of 19? Yeah. The 4 of 36 combined night there from three. Still found a way to hang on and win that basketball game. So when Indiana makes shots, Dave, a lot of those problems get solved. And that's the point. The point is they're easy to shoot. They're a little bit more difficult to make. And especially when you're not usually knocking them down on your home floor. But we've seen it on the road, which is great, and it's just a different setting. But it's interesting because Tom Crean just got done meeting with the media, and he says the halftime of the Notre Dame game, where was that game? Bankers Life Fieldhouse, yep, was the, quote, turning point for Indiana. Quote, there was no anger or panic. He's not a very good poker player, because I'm guessing it was a little tighter than that. Yeah. Knowing the result, you feel a little bit better. But I bet at that halftime when Indiana was, I don't want to say going through the motions, Dave, but there wasn't a lot to take out of that game where you said, hey, this looks like a team that's going to win the regular season Big Ten championship by two games and cruise to doing it. That wasn't the case. Did they get it figured out? Well, they got it figured out in that game for sure. I don't think you saw much evidence of against Rutgers and against Nebraska. Maybe you saw the tough guttiness out of that.
Right.
But that
it wasn't pretty.
That's not where it started. The process has been good. The process has given the results. The turning point was they didn't lose that game to Notre Dame. I'll give it that. But this team didn't all of a sudden open up the Big Ten and start wasting people. Remember, that Wisconsin game was tight.
Yeah, it was. Both of them were.
The Ohio State game, game four of the season, the 48-18 opening first half where Troy had 18 points, that was a little bit different. And the team at home has always been a little bit different. But it should be a happy place in the sense where if that's the belief, if that's the angle they're selling in the locker room, which is completely fine, whatever. Whatever you get 18 to 22-year-olds to listen to is great. Mm-hmm. If they're going to sell that, hey, remember when we were here, this is where our season turned around, they're more than happy to buy it if it produces the results. What I think Indiana doesn't need to worry about, Dave, is November or December. I think what Indiana needs to focus on is how they close things. That has not been the case the last – what even the Zeller team didn't fire it down the stretch winning six in a row. That team took a couple punches, had a great win at Michigan, and the Syracuse game, we don't even have to go into that, but this team came down the stretch with expectations, with the lead, with being hunted, positions they're not used to being in, and stood up and were counted.
No, and I think that's interesting you mention it that way, because not only were they in a position late in the season suddenly that they weren't used to, it's completely opposite from where they were in the middle of the season. At the beginning of the season, they were ranked. I think people thought they would have a good season.
Top 15.
You might get an occasional Big Ten title chance, although you know, Purdue and Maryland, you know, Iowa wasn't being mentioned, but Purdue and Maryland certainly were. Michigan State was being mentioned. But they went from going to be pretty good to, oh my gosh, the season's falling apart, to putting things together somehow, to the hunted and in first place all of a sudden. So they've gone through a lot of different emotions and a lot of different mentalities about how they had to walk out onto the basketball court every night.
And the other thing is the schedule. And you want to knock it. I'm not going to knock it in the sense of who they played, Dave. But if you're going to start off the road in the Big Ten twice, you want to go to Rutgers and whoever else.
Yes,
it doesn't matter. If that season would have started, and it didn't, so we don't really have to talk about it, it would have been a different foot on the gas pedal, brake pedal, if it started at Michigan State, at Michigan. You'd have had a different thing going on there.
There's no question, because the dynamics of this team were different. The dynamics of some of those teams were different.
You just lost James Blackman.
Exactly.
You just did this.
Let's remember, they had, 23 turnovers in that Rutgers game?
Yes,
Thomas Bryant played 6 minutes.
Yes, they did.
You know, it was a game where you saw something out of them you hadn't seen, and that is them toughing it out. But it was by no means the pretty basketball you saw late in the season.
And then you saw Rutgers play the rest of the year.
Right. And saw just how bad they were.
Well, and you should have won that game because you're better.
333-2665 is the phone number. Let's bring in Greg.
Hey, Greg.
How you doing, Greg?
Hey, gentlemen. How are we this evening?
Good, little damp.
All right.
But basketball is an indoor sport, so we don't have to worry about any of that coming up at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. That's right. No doubleheaders.
True story. Hey, just a question here, and then I guess I'll make my point. But one of the things that you just mentioned a second ago is that the fact that when Indiana doesn't shoot the ball well, they have a tendency to struggle. And I think that goes without saying for any team, when you're not scoring, you're not winning. But I think the problem that Indiana has is that they do rely too heavily on the jump shot, We take a lot of three-pointers, and I would say a majority of our points have been scored from, you know, Yogi and in Troy, but a lot of that has been jump shot. The problem that I have with that is that we do have three, and even you could throw a Bielfeld, you could throw a Hartman in there, but, you know, you got three guys in OG and Thomas Bryant and even Juwan Morgan, and hopefully he's going to be okay, but that are big fellas that can body up and can score in the paint, and we don't have a tendency to run that kind of low post offense. Everything seems to become out around the wing, and then, you know, we work for open shots, and when we get those open shots, it's great. But good teams make those adjustments. I'm not saying IU's not a good team, but they're having a lot of sense made some of those great adjustments. But I have not seen it as recently, you know, feeding the middle, feeding the post to try to get those guys some points and make that adjustment when they are struggling.
I don't think that's completely off base. And Monday, this is Wednesday, right? Monday, yes. We talked about that. Indiana's efficient on offense for two reasons. Why? They take three-pointers, they take layups. They don't really shoot a lot of jump shots unless Troy's doing some Troy's things, and that's
not
fine.
In between, right, exactly.
There's not a whole lot of Colin Hartman's not shooting 16-footers. Thomas right. Bryant's not shooting 17-footers. They're shooting threes.
They're trying to space the floor,
twos.
And they're trying to get to the basket.
Yes, and to the point, when they space the floor like that and shoot a lot of threes, if you choose not to guard them, they do have players that can knock them down. And if people are sagging off, they're not going to throw the ball in the post where there's already a crowded mess. Tom Crean talks about the ball moving through the paint, whether it's cutting, whether it's passing, whether it's dribbling. And when Indiana can take it to that next step, that's why they get a ton of dunks. They don't have to throw it into the post and let the post guy hang out and work out. Thomas Bryant's been in enough foul trouble this year. He's only playing 20 minutes a game. There's not a lot of rhythm to get that going. I don't think OG's a natural post player. Same with Morgan. I think they're junkyard dogs that get rebounds. Max is probably the guy that's most comfortable down there because he's an 18th-year senior. He's done it enough times and has an array of post moves. But Thomas Bryant, it's hard to get him in a flow when he scores fouls, and he has to go out of the game. So it kind of takes that away. But what the key to this offense is the ton of offensive rebounds, and when Indiana can penetrate, when people jump on them trying to take the three-point shot away like Maryland did, it was a dunk show. It was a layup show.
Well,
and that balance, Greg, I think is the key. You're right. You can't just rely on the three-point shot, and what they tried to do against Purdue last year was put their head down and drive at Haas and Hammonds all day, and nothing happened that way. So you have to find, I think, a happy medium. So that's why I kind of agree with your point.
I think late in the season, it appeared to me that they tried and at least looked more inside with either Bryant or with Bielfeld and tried to establish some position outside.
And it's all matchups, too. Tom will tell you that.
Absolutely.
It's all matchups.
Because let's keep in mind, against Purdue, Bryant was bringing them out to past the three-point line. You know, when Troy normally would get a high ball screen late in a shot clock like they like to do, it wasn't Thomas Bryant. Thomas Bryant went and stood by Coach Crean and brought his guy all the way out there. He just got the heck out of the middle of there. I think, though, that they tried to get it inside more of in a post-up situation late. They didn't necessarily do it, but earlier in the season, I thought that it was more of a struggle. Bryant wasn't getting great position either and holding it off.
And by the way,
he did a better job late.
We don't have guys that can feed the post very well. No. We've struggled on that. We don't get very good angles. We don't...
Well, and they're also trying to reduce turnovers.
Yes.
And frankly,
they
run some cutters off of that post guy sometimes a little bit too often. And bring extra defenders in there, making it harder too. So there's a few things they need to do better there.
And again, I think a lot of it goes down to the matchups, and you take what the defense gives you, because Indiana obviously shoots it at a good enough proficiency. Here's what I don't like, and I think maybe this is where you're going with your point. Interrupt me if I'm wrong on this. When Indiana falls in love with the three-point shot, maybe like they did at Penn State, and it doesn't go in and they don't look at that option, I can get a little frustrated with that as well.
Well, that's exactly my point, is that when we kind of settle in, you know, and things aren't going our way, we have a tendency to stick with what we know and expect different results. And if we're missing shots, we need to make adjustments. And like I said, not to say that I use a bad team, because they're not. But when the tempo is not in our favor, when people
Wisconsin,
try to slow
Penn
us
State.
Down, right. When they try to slow us down, because Wisconsin's a perfect example. You know, they slowed us down, and we did not look good when we played at Wisconsin. Of course, we never win there.
Indiana had seven field goals against Penn State in the second half.
We scored 78 points. I know it was overtime, but it was at Wisconsin. We scored 59 here against Wisconsin. So
that's not a good match.
No, but it was different, though. I mean, think about that. Again, if 78 up there, where you would think it would be the lower scoring game of the two, 59 down here, different times of the year slightly, no question.
And then Michigan State ran us off the court, so they were playing at a tempo that we couldn't keep up.
I think you have to be fair, though. Greg, you have to be fair here with this team. 15-3 in the Big Ten season showed me that there weren't a lot of teams that could impose their tempo on Indiana by the end of the season. And there were a couple. Those were hard games. A couple of them were Rutgers and Nebraska, by the way, when we weren't all that good offensively.
And another one I mentioned on Monday night was the Boilermakers came here with the last two defensive players of the year in the league, and Indiana had a 19-point lead on with 12 minutes to go. So those, and Painter's known for defending it. He couldn't even slow it down.
This team is sharing the ball. It is moving the ball. It is moving themselves.
And when they don't
well
do those things, that's
that,
why they
that,
have problems.
That a lot of teams are not able to impose their tempo.
Which I can't believe, Greg. And we'll wrap it up on this. If they should be zoned a lot more than they're zoned, and why they're not is interesting.
Just
because
the shooting.
No, it's to slow the pace down.
Yeah,
because it takes six or seven passes passes to find a better shot than it does in our regular offense.
I honestly don't see how you could ever zone IU more than what they're getting zoned, just simply because of the talent of the shooters that they do have on the team.
Yeah, but when it slows the pace down, just like you were talking about.
Well, I understand that to a degree, but we get a lot of fast breaks. We create a lot of turnovers. Not only do we, because there's a lot of really, Yogi has great hands and he gets in there.
Absolutely.
Colin Hartman. It plays. All he does is play passing lanes.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
that guy can disrupt passing lanes all day long, and then we get out on the break, and so running a zone isn't going to be. You're going to have to get back and get set, and then get into that zone. Which with the shooters that IU has,
it's not going to happen. Transition, you got to run to the ball and stop it, because that's when Indiana does that. Then they have options, because when you're not set, Greg, you're exactly right. That's when Indiana, as you saw against Maryland, got tons of layups. Why? They rush the guys at the 3-point line. Our guys run hard down the court. It's a simple pass and a layup. With that balance, that's what makes Indiana really, really good. It's when they're going to face a team like Michigan State or face a team like Purdue again, which I think Purdue will give them a much better effort than they did here, or Wisconsin again. Some of those matchups, that's when Indiana has to prove it. We know Indiana can beat Illinois by 100 points home or on the road. That's not the issue. It's can they beat teams they shouldn't like to be comfortable playing against. All we heard in 2013 was Syracuse is a terrible matchup. Why? Indiana had four 1,000-point scores. They had 5 days to prepare, and that's the thing. When you have talent, you should be able to be in those games, and I think Indiana's done a pretty good job of it this year. You have a prediction for us on the Big Ten tournament?
Michigan State is
they're flying, aren't they?
Yeah, they're so good, and IU just does not have a good history in the Big Ten tournament, unfortunately, and Denzel Valentine has got to be that guy is so good. And
no,
that team, they're so well coached.
It's hard to pick against them right now. They're playing so well.
Yeah.
They're deep. They're talented. Greg, thanks for the phone
call.
Good job,
Greg, as always. Greg
here.
Pays attention, so that's why you pay attention, you get on the program. We'll talk
to you. One of our good callers, no question. We got to take a quick
break.
333-2665 is the phone number. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Give you our programming notes here, and they are extensive, and that's the good news, because we've got a whole ton of basketball coverage coming up for you. We actually start on Saturday with regional basketball. Bloomington South plays number one New Albany. 9:30 in the morning is Chalk Talk. Tip-off is 10 a.m. from the Seymour Regional. If South beats New Albany, they will be playing the winner of Evansville Wrights and Franklin Central, and that game will be 8 o'clock tip-off, 7:30 Chalk Talk for that. But that is only the beginning, as we start all kinds of live sports coverage, in particular basketball, but it starts on Sunday noon with the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, the IndyCar opener. Is that St. Petersburg, Florida, or Russia?
Florida, Jerry. Okay. Florida. Nice and warm.
Figured I'd ask, just in case.
It's a long way.
Could be one of those 8 p.m. nighttime things over in Russia. Then 5:30 Sunday, we have Selection Sunday, 5:30 to 9 p.m., talking about the brackets.
Brand new two-hour format
this year. Releasing it and letting you know all about it and analyzing. So that's a long show
That's a great show, because the other show, it's an hour long. They can't get everything in they need to get in.
Yeah.
And now instead of cramming it in before 60 minutes starts, you've just taken it and said, hey, let's take a deep breath and do it.
So that's a whole bunch Sunday night, 5:30 to 9.
And they also found out that ESPN would go for the next 3 hours, and they were missing out. Why just jump all those folks over there. So if you're on the go Sunday for whatever reason, or if you're getting out of town on spring break or whatever it is, you can listen right here and be right with it.
And we'll have more continuing on through the week, as we're going to have every game possible starting Tuesday night. 6 o'clock Tuesday, we'll start the NBA sport or NBC sports coverage, and then 6:30 until into the evening are the first four games, the doubleheader on Tuesday, doubleheader on Wednesday. In the Zone next Wednesday, a week from tonight,
special,
we'll start
one
at
for
5
you.
O'clock
yep.
and go until 6:30. Glass and Terry and some special guests.
We will. We're going to load it up.
Talking all basketball and, of course, previewing IU.
Yep. We're going to have Zach Osterman from the Indy Star, Mike Miller from the Herald Times, Alex McCarthy from Inside Indiana, and Joe Smith from wherever they will be. Yep. So we'll get you caught up on the opponents. We will get you caught up on the venues, the histories, and everything else that goes with it. And then, obviously, we'll throw out our brackets so you can trash them all you'd like throughout the tournament.
And then, of course, noon on Thursday, noon on Friday, noon on Saturday, noon on Sunday, all day long with NCAA tournament basketball for you here on WGCL. And again, we'll have every game according to the NBC broadcasts throughout the rest of the tournament, starting or ending rather on May 4th or April 4th rather, 6:30, the NCAA championship. Whew. That's
busy.
A lot. We got a whole bunch of it.
It's Indiana. It's basketball.
We'll have it all.
Hoosier Hysteria starts on Saturday. Then you get to everything else that goes on. And you might even have – the good news for Indiana fans is the regional and Seymour's going to get done at 11:30, get home 1 o'clock IU tip time for the semifinals. So that's great. And then you take a little nap and drive back to Seymour, hopefully, for Saturday
night. That's exactly
right.
Indiana starts noon on Friday against the winner of Michigan and Northwestern. If they move on, they play the winner of Purdue. Against the Iowa-Illinois winner. And so,
and people have been asking, hey, why doesn't Indiana play last on Friday night? Well, you want to play first so you have all night Friday to relax.
Right.
You don't want to play last on Friday night because the latest game on Saturday is 3:45.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be
you
first.
Want all the time in the world.
Exactly. So it's not about the rest leading up to that game. It's the recovery after your first game, which is important.
Let's look forward, which is always dangerous.
That's
but again, Indiana, if they beat Northwestern or Michigan, would play Purdue most likely. But of course, Iowa and Illinois, the other members in that game, potentially. Iowa sucking gas at this point in time.
Already beat Purdue twice, though. They know the recipe to do that.
Yes, they have. And Purdue, of course, everybody seems to think the Purdue lineup and the Purdue style, is, along with Wisconsin, are the kryptonite to this Indiana team. Indiana had a nice time with them down here in Bloomington. How does that play up in Indianapolis at a neutral court? It's still the height and the physicality of Purdue against the more run-out style. Of the
Hoosiers. And the other interesting thing, Purdue's feeling pretty good about themselves. If you bring up their last two games, they scored 91 against Wisconsin. In their ender. It was senior day. You get a little emotional for that.
Kind of a foul fest, too.
But you still got to put 91 of them in the basket, Dave. And that Purdue team that was in Bloomington that afternoon for the first, 32 minutes or whatever before they made that last final run didn't look like they scored 91 points in two games if they played against the Hoosiers. So they're feeling a little good. Iowa's feeling better about things. They broke up their not very good streak when winning at Michigan last Saturday. So they should be, you never think you're going to win again until you win again. And now that they've won again, they can forget about all that other stuff and figure out why it went well at Michigan.
You mentioned Purdue. They scored 83 in a win against Maryland.
Well,
they scored
81
at Nebraska in a win. They scored 91 against Wisconsin in a win. That's their last
78
three games
here,
after losing
they?
To the Hoosiers. 73.
73. Okay. And I'm throwing that one out because that game wasn't a true indication of scoring 73 points because Indiana had such a big lead.
No, the last three stand out.
Those are legit because, number one, they're playing against a Maryland team that at the time still was arguing for a Big Ten championship.
Yes,
that was not a giveaway game. Wisconsin had won 11 of 12. Mm-hmm. That's a team that was playing unbelievable basketball as well. And Nebraska. Purdue's playing for seeding. Nebraska's playing for their lives. They're playing to get better,
out
and they're on the road.
Yep, in Lincoln.
So it's a free try to upset Purdue and turn your season around and get some momentum going into wherever they're going to go.
Purdue beat them by 19.
And they smoked them, 81-62. That's exactly right. So the Boilers have found some newfound offense in there. Purdue is also, Dave, very comfortable with that arena. Every Crossroads Classic, they are a part of with Indiana and Butler and Notre Dame. So that's not a new site for them that's going to bug them. But Iowa has beaten them twice. I understand that was earlier in the season. Iowa was also down 19 points. We keep bringing that up.
Yeah.
That's a sign of a team with guts, people. That's why we bring it up. And to pick on the Boilers. It's a double-edged sword. It works all in our favor.
Absolutely.
But when you're down on the road 19 points, they were down, 17 or 18 in Bloomington and came back to lead by one or two?
Right?
Exactly, before the Hoosiers finally righted the ship and knocked them off. So you have to remember that Iowa exists. We all live in this world of transitive property because the enemy of my enemy is my friend and I want to know what they're doing and everything else. But I think you have to break it down into what these teams believe in. And that's why when I talk about Indiana, I don't want to go back to the Notre Dame game. I want to talk Purdue, Maryland, Iowa, the things that just happened. And guess what Painter's saying? Those last three games that you just read off, that's the new Purdue.
That's us.
Well, that's why believe in anything else. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you want to be, because they didn't sacrifice game plan. They didn't change style. All of a sudden, they started hitting shots. They were getting better shots, and the big guys contributed. They didn't bench somebody. It wasn't a big change of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's almost a confirmation of, see, if we just be patient and listen to what we're doing, it works. And that's a very powerful thing to do. And McCaffrey's having the same conversation with Iowa. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys. We kept to it. We played really well against Indiana. We just didn't finish. We played really well against Ohio State. We didn't finish.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they found it at Michigan. And it was a comfortable win at Michigan. It wasn't a nail-biter overtimer. It was a comfortable road win at a Michigan team that was playing for its tournament bubble life. They needed that win more than Iowa needed that win. Iowa needed it to get out of what they were doing. Michigan needed it for hope. So right now, it's just an unbelievably cool time. You can point to about nine teams and say, yeah, here's why they can.
Right.
And in those same nine teams, you can point out, and here's why not. And I think it's tough. Tom Izzo said winning the tournament is tougher than winning the league because of the imbalanced schedules. You can't dodge anybody in the tournament. You have to go through the big-time players.
Well, and again, it's a couple games, and it is just that 40 minutes. I mean, it's not 18 games where you get a makeup.
It is strife. It is playing in unfamiliar surroundings for the most part. Mm-hmm. It is quick turnarounds. Besides the Maui Classic, you don't play dung, dung, dung three in a row.
No, that's right.
Or four in a row.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
No, and the NCAAs you get a day off.
You got to be mentally tough for that. Teams that have been through tournament runs and experiences, which doesn't favor Indiana.
No, they haven't.
I haven't done that. Michigan State's like, we play five games games, seven games in the postseason every year. We play two in the Big Ten, and we play three or four in the NCAA tournament. That experience is valuable. Coaching is valuable, and being there and done that, there's no replication for that. You can't replicate that in practice with your squad. You're not going to practice that way where you turn around and have a quick practice tomorrow. It's the teams that adapt. It's the teams' systems that have worked the most throughout the year, and those are the good teams. It's not a surprise, people, that usually win this tournament. Why? Because it translates in hostile environments, and just look at the teams that have done well in the NCAA tournament. There's a reason why, because the stuff works. Can Indiana break that myth? Absolutely. Name a team on their night, who can't Indiana beat?
I think a lot of fans think we've seen this team not finish seasons well. When is that team going to show up? And I'm not sure it is, because those teams did not continue a kind of upward trend as consistently as this one has. And it started in an ugly place. There's no question about that. But late in the season, they were playing their best ball against some of their toughest opponents.
There's not a ton of tournament experience on this team besides Bielefeld. Yogi's had a few extra games, and then most of them. That's going to be interesting, Dave, because when the bright lights are on and when you look up with the finality staring you in the face, that's when the interesting time, how are you going to react to it? And it's fascinating.
We'll talk about the other side of the bracket and who we think's coming out on Sunday late afternoon when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. The Big Ten tournament is now underway with Illinois demolishing a depleted Minnesota team. As you might expect, they go on to face Iowa tomorrow afternoon around 2:30. The first game of the day will be Northwestern and Michigan, and the winner will play Indiana at noon on Friday. And then the winner of Iowa and Illinois will play Purdue opposite that. So that's the top half of the bracket. If you go by the seeds, of course, Indiana and Purdue on a course to play, but Iowa will have something to say about that. And Minnesota, or rather Michigan and Northwestern, will have something to say about that. But in the other side, Rutgers and Nebraska play tonight. Neither one of those will end up getting past Wisconsin. Penn State and Ohio State in the other early game tomorrow on the bottom half. All signs, of course, point to Michigan State coming out and winning this tournament. They are playing the best. They are the most talented. They are the deepest. But let's be fair here. I look at this, and if I'm picking teams that could do something, it's not just Michigan State down there. You got to give Maryland, you've got to give Wisconsin some sort of potential to get out of here because they're quality. They've got good players. They've got veterans. Maryland's got all kinds of talent on the team. There's at least a shot.
Wisconsin's style is going to bother anybody. The only problem with Wisconsin is they will see Maryland for a third time if that matches up. So Maryland is awfully familiar. Maryland beat them there. Wisconsin won at College Park, Maryland's first loss at home. Michigan State and Wisconsin, I don't know what their back and forth is on that. But again, there's no secrets at this time anymore.
I think they split also because I know Michigan State lost at Wisconsin.
Here's the only way you're going to see any problems in the Big Ten tournament for the bigger seeds against lower seeds. And Illinois kind of showed you the way tonight. You hit 14 threes, you're going to be in a lot of games. It's 42 points. Stop. That's what it is. And right there, if you walk into a game, you're not going to know that's going to happen. But the great thing about college basketball is the three-point shot can be the great equalizer. All you need is one kid to hit five out of six, six out of seven. He doesn't have to do it in the semifinals.
Forbes is 11 out of 13.
Well, but he does that every night. He's the number one shooter in the country. I'm talking about just some random guy that's not even in the scouting report.
Was a guy from Minnesota, Hoffarber?
Yeah, and he hits a ton of them. And Joey King makes it.
Well, the guy from Wisconsin.
Sure. And, number 15. I don't even remember the guy's name. And he had 26 or 8 that day, and Indiana couldn't find a way to stop him. So you get stories like that, but that shouldn't be enough to beat Indiana. That shouldn't be enough to beat Michigan State. Wisconsin's system, Dave, we've seen it go cold, and when it gets cold, it gets chilly because they don't have guys off the bench to put the ball in the basket. Mm-hmm. They're lean on their top five. Michigan State is the most deep, complete, coached. Check all the boxes. Yep. That's why it is. And who else is down there? Maryland. Here's Maryland's problem, and these are facts. You don't like them, I don't care. 0-20 on the road against ranked teams. That's what am I going to take out of that and say, hey, here's why they're going to win it? Well, here's why Maryland can win it. Trimble can get 35.
Yeah.
And Lehman can make 8 threes. Oh, yeah. And Suleiman has scored
4
30
or 5
before.
Guys that can really hurt
you. 7-foot guy. Yeah. That is the most disappointing collection of players.
Absolutely.
That if you looked at them in an airport, you would fall over and faint and say, God, if we had ever to play them, I'd die in my sleep.
You've got multiple
first.
Veterans. You've got multiple grunge-type, dirty-work-type guys like Lehman. You've got multiple
Lehman
NBA guys. I mean, you've got a whole everything you could want
you
out of that team, except
bench.
Maybe a
you
little bit of toughness.
It's hard. Something's wrong with Trimble. I think everybody knows that. There's not the burst. There's not the explosiveness. There's not the he needs to hog the ball a little bit more. But if that's the thing with Maryland,
maybe
though,
he shouldn't.
All Maryland needs to do is flip the switch once, and they can win the national tournament.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, is that likely to happen? No, because the signs they've shown me doesn't point to it. So if you'd like to take a little bitty risky long shot, that would be one of them. Maryland's going to get beat in the first round. They're going to be in the Final Four. Neither one would surprise me because
they're talented enough,
right?
No question.
And if Stone gets, he had 39 earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And Trimble's,
that's exactly right.
Trimble's hit every big shot you needed, including the one to beat Wisconsin up there.
Again, people are telling me that Carter's an NBA player.
He's got the body and size,
exactly,
doesn't he?
Right.
And then
Suleiman's a vet. He's been around.
And again, you don't know after last Sunday if they went back and climbed inside the big shell had to come to Jesus meeting and figure this out.
And they're too talented to think they're just going to fall fold in their last couple chances here in the postseason. He's not
0-20.
Well, I know, but again, when you've got that kind of talent, you either disappear quickly, as you said, or you figure something out pretty quickly.
When Mark Turgeon walks through the doors, nobody's running for the clipboard.
No, that's true.
That's not happening. And if you read the great CBS Matt Norlander article about George Mason in 2006, the run about it, George Mason team had a guy suspended. They went to Wichita State.
Yep.
The place was packed 3 hours before the game started when they went to shoot around, packed with like 5,000 fans. And they beat the crap out of Wichita State that day.
Yeah.
The key to this point is Turgeon was the coach there. Turgeon and Wichita State play George Mason in the 2006 Sweet 16. And they said, when we saw the guys walk out on the court and look at us in the face again, said, no chance.
Yeah, done.
Hey, there are guys. Turgeon was gone before he got Mello Trimble. Done. You look at his record. He had 4.5 years at Maryland. They were done with him.
Yeah.
Done. It was a make or break season last year. They were really good at times. And again, you bring in a transfer, Carter. You bring in a transfer, Suleiman. You bring in a freshman. You bring in, and you have an exceptional point guard. That's a lot of things that have to go right.
Yeah,
makes you wonder how special Indiana is. A lot of moving pieces. Bring in Max Bielfeldt.
Sure.
Yogi's a senior.
Sure.
Here's a high-powered shooter in James Blackman Jr.
Some of your recruits haven't worked out quite right yet. I mean, that's exactly right.
Some and be fortunate. Some of these things don't work out as well as they do and look that's on right. paper. Hey, Carter's an NBA guy. Hey, Suleiman played at Duke.
And Indiana's going to see Purdue again, and you can point at their point guard. I mean, last year, Octius was great for them.
The Hill kid's
and
nice.
And we're fitting. Isn't. Hill
DJ
isn't the
Thompson
same guy.
Had 20 against Wisconsin season high, so he's playing better. But you factor in all this stuff. The interesting bracket is the top side because we're biased against Indiana. But Indiana or Purdue, that's where you're going. That's where the action's
or again,
at for me.
An Iowa team that sure. veteran-wise could get hot. Who comes out of the whole thing here?
Who's going to win the tournament? I can't pick against Michigan State. You can't do it. I'm going to root for Indiana. But I'd love to see Indiana in Michigan State in the title game because I think they're the two teams playing the best basketball right now. I think they're the most balanced. I think they're the most deep. And I think it would be an interesting fight in that circumstance, not in East Lansing or in Bloomington.
Right.
Neutral floor is great.
And the way Troy Williams has come down the last couple weeks, does he finally step up against Michigan State, who he has had disaster games against?
Disaster, you're being kind.
That would be
fun to see.
That would be
the reclamation. Here's how Indiana wins the Big Ten tournament. Troy Williams plays like he played the last two games against Iowa and against Maryland. Mm-hmm. Troy's problem has been playing like that 3, 4, 5, 6 times in a row. That he can't do it. It's the consistency of when he's done it or hasn't done it. Remember, Indiana went to Illinois, first game without Robert Johnson. Mm-hmm. Williams and foul problem, score 7 points. Indiana wins by 100.
Yeah,
100 points.
Yeah, he got kicked in the thigh, too. So
he did. That didn't help anything. Yeah. But when he was in, 7 points, wasn't flying the freight. So why Indiana will win the Big Ten tournament, Yogi will be Yogi. The bench will be the bench, the shooters will be the shooters, and Troy Williams will be back to old Troy Williams. And for me, that's the only way Indiana wins. They can't do it with Bryant in foul trouble, and they can't do it with Williams having 3 for 14.
Not against Michigan State.
Nope.
And when we come in on Monday, what kind of seed are we talking about for IU?
Nationally, it'll totally depend. If they win the Big Ten tournament, they can be a 2. I think that's absolutely possible. If Carolina is upset, if Kansas is locked in for me.
Yeah.
If Villanova goes out early, you've got some things in there. But remember, those games against Wake Forest and UNLV will haunt those chances.
Yep.
If you lose on neutral courts to a Wake team that won 11 games this year, that's not
mediocre, no question. We got to head on out of here, folks. Again, Selection Sunday show starts at 5:30 on Sunday. Saturday, 9:30, Chalk Talk for South at the Regional against New Albany. Tip off 10 o'clock. And we will join you again Monday, 6 o'clock. So tune into all of that, and we will talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.